Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Building on the Rock, produced by St. Peter's Lutheran Congregation of Fond du Lac, located at 1600 South Main Street. Our congregation has had the privilege of serving our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ since 1858. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 7:45 or 10:30, or every Thursday night at 6:30. St. Peter's serves Jesus Little Lambs with a kindergarten through 8th grade Lutheran Elementary School and supports Winnebago Lutheran Academy. We invite you to take advantage of the many opportunities that St. Peter's provides to help you build your life on the rock-solid foundation of Jesus and His Word. For more information, call us at 922-1160 or visit us on the web at www.stpetersfdl.net. May God bless you as together we continue building on the rock.
Welcome to St. Peter's. Welcome to our guests and visitors with us this evening. Please take a moment to fill out a visitor card. They're located in the back of your worship pews. You can put them in the offering plate later on in the service. Tonight we see the Lord's forgiveness to us as we also display it in our forgiveness towards others. Invite the congregation to please arise as we continue with the order of service as it's printed in your worship folders, beginning on the bottom of page 2. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and also with you. God invites us to come into His presence and worship Him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask Him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our Word of God readings for this evening on the bottom of page 4. Our first lesson comes to us from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 29. Here, Christ's forgiveness drives us to forgive one another in love. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of our Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Please arise for the reading of our gospel lesson, found on page 5 of your worship bulletins, from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, beginning at verse 21. And here we see that those who have been forgiven much also forgive much. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "How many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you not 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In his anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from the heart." The Gospel of our Lord. We continue, congregation may be seated. We continue. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text for this evening's meditation is Genesis chapter 50, beginning at verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins, the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to him. This is the word of our Lord. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's just you and me now. If you grow up having had brothers and sisters, I'm sure you were at one time on the end of that phrase. It's all part of sibling rivalry. When the younger sibling would steal things out of the older sibling's room and then wreck it or break it or lose them. When the younger sibling would take the older sibling's bike, ride it, and then wreck it. When they would take their older sibling's clothes, wear them, and then stain them or get holes in them. When their younger siblings would take their older siblings' phones and play with them, and the worst, take their phone charger cords without asking and then lose them. The younger siblings harassing their older siblings in the back seat of the car, pinching and poking them. The younger siblings ruining their older siblings' sleepovers with their friends by constantly annoying them and not leaving them alone. And all this the younger siblings do on purpose. And they get away with it. Because everyone knows all they have to do is fake hurt or fake cry, and then the wrath of mom and dad will then come upon the older sibling and blame them for it. And so the older sibling, fearing the wrath of mom and dad, it sort of keeps them in check, but they start to bide their time. So that when that moment comes, when mom and dad are no longer around, then it's time to take revenge. And the words that that younger sibling never wants to hear, it's just you and me now. You can't help think about sibling rivalry as you take a look at our text for today. Joseph was about 17 years old when the Bible picks up the account of his life. At that time, Joseph had 10 older brothers whom he did not get along very well with. His older brothers thought Joseph was a little tattletale, always running to dad, telling them what they were or weren't doing with the flocks out in the fields. They thought Joseph was this little arrogant punk who was proclaiming these dreams in which the older siblings were going to one day bow down to him. They thought Joseph was this little spoiled brat whom their father had given this coat of many colors, and he paraded it around in front of them. The older brothers thought Joseph could do no wrong in their father's eyes, that he could just do or say whatever he wanted, and he was untouchable as long as their father was around. And so one day when Joseph went out to meet his brothers far off in the fields with the flocks, far, far away from home, and their father was nowhere around, the brothers then turned to Joseph and said, "It's just you and us now." And they unleashed all their hatred. They took him and they threw him down into an empty well, and then they sat down to eat their lunch together, contemplating how they were going to kill him. And then just then a band of traveling merchants was coming by, and so they decided instead to sell their brother into slavery, and then they profited from his sale. They then took that robe of many colors, they tore it and dipped it in animal blood, carried it back to their father and told him that a wild animal had attacked Joseph and Joseph died. And then as a family, the older brothers, they pretended to mourn. They even had a funeral for Joseph, but when it was over, without conscience, they got up, turned their backs, walked away. That at last Joseph was now gone and just all to be forgotten. Sibling rivalry. But it wasn't over. As Joseph ended up going to Egypt by the Lord's guiding hand, there in Egypt through many trials and hardships and also blessings, Joseph would eventually rise to power in Egypt and become the ruler over all of Egypt, second in command, only underneath the authority of Pharaoh himself. And for years, Joseph led the nation of Egypt, storing up crops for his nation, so that in the year when the big famine hit and it affected all the surrounding lands and nations, guess who came to Egypt looking for food? His brothers. And for a while, Joseph hid his identity from them. But at the point in our text, Joseph's brothers had found out his identity as they now were standing before him, standing before the most powerful man in Egypt, standing before the boy they once hated, sold, and claimed dead. They were standing before their brother. Can't begin to even manage to imagine the fear that those brothers must have had, wondering If Joseph had been storing up such a grudge and hatred over all these years, waiting for this one day to take revenge, waiting if Joseph was going to now turn to them and say, "It's just you and me now. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, just in fear, waiting for what was about to be done and rightly and justly done to them." How much worse the fear to one day stand in before the judgment seat of our holy God, a God who does nothing but come and pull out his holy law before us and tell us, "It's just you and me now." It's written in Psalm 130, "If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?" If God kept a ledger of the imperfections of your life, just how thick do you think it would be? All the times that we have complained about our earthly life, all the times we have cursed God for the trials in our life, the times that we were selfish, the times that we were greedy, the times that we engaged in sexual immorality or held grudges, all the times that we have thought evil, spoke words of profanity, or spoke words of gossip, if God kept a ledger of all of our sins and imperfections, just how thick do you think your ledger would seriously be? And then to have a holy God come and settle the account of your life with you, to come and balance his books upon you. It's also written in the scriptures, it's a very dreadful thing for a sinner to fall into the hands of a living God. Every heart knows the fear of conviction. Like those brothers, only fear, just waiting for the pronouncement of damnation and eternal judgment. A judgment that we rightly and ever so justly deserve. The brothers couldn't do anything before Joseph except fall on their knees and start begging for forgiveness. Martin Luther once wrote that no matter what your status is in this earthly life, no matter how much wealth you have accumulated in this earthly life, no matter your status, your wealth, no matter how many accomplishments you have achieved in this life, when it comes to the end of life, we're all the same. We are all just beggars before a holy God. And as the brothers sat begging, waiting for Joseph to either pronounce damnation or forgiveness upon them, it was then that Joseph came to them with the response, "Am I in the place of God?" Meaning that Joseph was not about to take revenge out upon his brothers, but he was going to leave room for God's mercy. Because every heart needs the comfort of forgiveness. Every heart needs to be free from a guilty conscience. Every heart wants to stand in peace before our holy God. It's even written in the scriptures that there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. And it was Christ's love by which he came and was born into this world to save sinners. It was Christ's sacrificial love, his unconditional love, his dying love that led him to the cross and there shed his blood to atone for sins and give up his life to ransom our very souls from hell. It was in his living love, his eternal love, that he arose from the dead and proclaimed us forgiven and sealed to us life everlasting. It was the love of Christ that has saved us and forgiven us. It is a love that you receive every time that you come and stand here to receive his holy sacrament. That here, when you come to receive his very body and blood, once given on the cross, here your Savior shows his love to you. When you stand here and hear the words, "Take, eat, and drink, for this has been given and poured out for you." For you. For the forgiveness of your sins. It is that love by which you have been made clean and whole again. And what Joseph also realized when he stood up and he proclaimed, "Am I in the place of God?" was that Joseph also realized that who was he to question the will of God? Certainly the Lord allowed all that tragedy and hardship to come into his life, but it was all for his good and holy purpose. Looking back on it, Joseph then told his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for my good. For now what is being done, the saving of many lives." And how true it was. That if Joseph had never been sold into slavery and arisen to power in Egypt, he never would have been in a position to save his Egyptian people from starvation, to save the surrounding nations from their poverty, and even also to provide for his own family. If Joseph never went to Egypt, he never would have been in a position to care for God's people, the people from whom that promised Savior would one day come. And it reminds us that even though trials and hardships come, and they are never pleasant at the time, but that we also have the same Almighty God who works his greater will and purpose. The book of 1 Peter is filled with lots of Christian encouragement in times of suffering, even writing, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are currently suffering, as if something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." And what that means is that as long as we live upon this life, we bear the name of Christ. We bear the name of Christ whether in the sunshine days or the darkened, cloudy days, whether in times of joy or sadness, in success or failures, in prosperity or poverty, in danger or in safety, in times of life, in times of death, and all the moments in between, that we are able to smile at the days to come, knowing that our Savior Christ already stands victorious upon this earth, and that he and that all of us who have faith, hearts filled with his glory, we look forward to the one day that we shall be with him in that eternity, a time when we will be free from all the injustice, the suffering, the heartache, and the sorrow of this world. But the day that we will enter glory, there to be with our sovereign God forevermore, and just to hear his words of compassion, that it's just me and you, now and forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ keep and guard your hearts and minds now and forever. Amen. Let us join in confessing our Christian faith according to the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead, life of the world to come. Amen. And in whose name we also join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, and serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Building on the Rock, produced by St. Peter's Lutheran Congregation of Fond du Lac, serving our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ since 1858. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 7:45 or 10:30, or every Thursday night at 6:30. Our address is 1600 South Main Street. St. Peter's serves Jesus Little Lambs with a kindergarten through 8th grade Lutheran Elementary School and supports Winnebago Lutheran Academy. We invite you to take advantage of the many opportunities that St. Peter's provides to help you build your life on the rock-solid foundation of Jesus and His Word. For more information, call us at 922-1160 or visit us on the web at www.stpetersfdl.net. We'll be back next week with another edition of Building on the Rock. Until then, God be with you.